the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, it's Bobby Golden coming back at you with another episode of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. Today, again, I have in the studio Jason Bond and Ben Lawrence. And, you know, during this COVID outbreak, Ben has grown quite the fro. I'm jealous. To a man with no hair on his head, I'm jealous.
So what I've gotten from takes of people are the people who are balding or my age that have receding hairlines, they all want the hair that I have. I've never really liked the hair that I have. I was going to get it cut yesterday.
Yeah, but you got that tight curl.
Yeah, it kind of grows.
What about the collective gasp when Ben walked around the corner yesterday? We were standing in the hall and everybody said, whoa, different hat.
Well, my question is, has your barber not gone back to work, or are you just lazy because Jason's got a fresh cut?
No, I get my hair cut the same place Jason does, but they weren't open on Monday, so I took it as a sign to suffer through another week. Let's just see where it goes.
I wouldn't cut it anymore. I know our new cotton specialist would love to have a head of hair like yours.
Yeah, he's one that's envious. I don't know that he's envious, but he told me to let it go.
Probably the old cotton specialist, too, but he's he's more of a Kentucky waterfall guy instead of the fro guy.
Everybody at this point is encouraging to let it go.
I think you need to see where it leads you,
in
man.
The event that I do go bald, which seems highly unlikely, everybody says you're going to wish you'd just seen how big it could get.
Well, you know, Jason always says smoke them if you got them. I'd say grow it if you got it.
I think you need to just let it go. See where it leads you, man.
You're just scared to cut yours any shorter where you'll show those bald spots.
Yeah, no, I don't have near as much as I used to have, for sure. So, all right, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I guess we need to talk about what we're going to do with all this rice that we had to rush to flood that may or may not have got sprayed because we were trying to catch crystal ball water. So I got a lot of calls, and there was a lot of guys that maybe rushed their pre-flood nitrogen out in a chance to save the water that we were going to get for free, right? So some of those guys might have made the option to let's fertilize, flood it with natural rainwater, and they might be missing that late post application. So if we got good burn down out, good mid post, wooden, a lot of stuff out there. So let's just go with what we got and we'll deal with it later. Where are we sitting?
Well, it depends on the technology, you know. And I don't have a real good feel for how much Previsi is out there.
There's more than last year, but not enough.
Not a lot.
Not enough, in my opinion.
I would. That's what I would have said. So let's just set Previsi.
I would say this: we planted all the Previsia that we were allowed to get in the state of Mississippi. Yeah,
which is a good thing. I mean, that's a good thing for multiple reasons. But so let's say Clearfield, because that's our, you know, kind of been our bell cow for a long time now. You know, you got options. And to me, it's not as clear as it was because we got this crabgrass phenomenon.
Crabgrass is absolutely
nuts
this year.
Yeah, that floats around out there. Have no idea where that came from, but it's kind of delta wide or rice area wide, and so we've had just a lot of questions the last 2 or 3 years about crabgrass, and so we're not talking about, you know, new path facet, clear path, and taking the ball and going home. It's a little, you got to get a little bit more creative than that. Facet is a really good crabgrass treatment, except when the crabgrass doesn't die.
Yeah, and the last 2 years hadn't been done.
There's been quite a bit of it. Anyway, but in general, your options. So just assume you got your command out and incorporated, and you had that one application, a new path. Maybe it was clear path. There's the possibilities are nearly endless. You know, you got your other application of new path there, and you know there's beyond. As well, you know, there's the option to replace that second new path application with beyond. I think there's situations where that's a justifiable action. In my opinion, beyond tends to be a little bit better on bigger grass post-emergence wise, and the sacrifice you get with replacing new path with beyond in a scenario where there's still a period of time between the application and flooding is the lack of residual that Beyond has that New Path gives you. We often don't think about the residual from New Path, but it's there.
But now we're flooded, so it really don't matter.
Right, yeah. So you know, Beyond on bigger grass is an option. I think, you know, I say bigger is relative.
Bigger to a rice guy, yeah, not a soybean guy.
Correct. I mean, we're talking about small, still relatively small grass, you know, one tiller grass. Things you got to think about making that treatment into the flood. Obviously, the grass has got to be exposed in order for it to, I mean, you got to have coverage target plant.
We got a lot of free water, so we can let some of that water relax before we start pumping. And that's what I was going to say. Make sure that, because I've got rice floating in one field out there, make sure that that grass is above the water or you're not going to do anything, right?
Yeah. You know, the other things to think about is, again, along with the crabgrass, is the species. You know, is there some sprinkle top out there? Because a Beyond or New Path application is not going to do well if there's some sprinkle top in the mix. And so then you're looking at incorporating's not a good word to use when talking about herbicides, but using something like clincher, or not something like clincher, using clincher as the product of choice there, where you've got some
if I was talking to somebody else, I would say a different tool in your toolbox, but I know how you hate that.
Yeah, no, we're not using tools and toolboxes. What else are you looking for, Bobby?
I guess the
related to grass control.
You know, the biggest thing to me is you just talked about a New Path system. It's taken probably about 55-60% of our acres the last several years, but got an awful lot of calls this year about pure line inbreds. I mean, we have got a lot of purely conventional rice out there, and I guess that don't change anything if you're switching to clincher, but if you don't have the avenue to spray New Path or that second application of New Path, where does that put
us? Yeah, so that's the other, and we've touched on some of that. I didn't mention this, but anytime that you flood rice and then make a herbicide application, I mean, make no mistake, it's a salvage application for a variety of reasons. You know, you've just put a big slug of fertilizer out, nitrogen fertilizer out. You've given that targeted plant plenty of food, and then you flooded it. And so you've given it plenty of food, plenty of water, and then you're going to attack it. And so you're looking at trying to kill it when it is at its most vigorous. So that makes it a salvage application. So in my opinion, my experience on bigger grass, so this salvage type application, if we're just talking about barnyard grass, which is still far and away our number one weed of rice in Mississippi, I prefer regiment on big grass, probably regiment, then clincher / Rebel X. Because we do use a fair amount of Rebel X, which is a combination of clincher and grasp. And then, you know, maybe a facet, you know, a lone application, which is an older treatment, you know, before we had regiment, before we had clincher, facet in the flood was an option. There's not a lot of propanil, you know, used in that pattern anymore. Definitely that was an option way back when.
So your first... What I hear you saying is really my first go-to is regiment if I can stand it.
If I'm in the flood and, you know when I'm making a salvage application, in my experience on barnyard grass, I think regiment is my preferred big grass material. Now, there's a lot of baggage with that. You know, you got to be able to get the application out. And
you got to not have any soybeans.
Some people are averse to, you know, making a regiment application in that window for that very reason. You know, with clincher, you don't have that problem because soybeans are completely resistant to clincher. So there's no problem there. Aside from the fact that, you know, you might drift some on there and you didn't make a good application, you didn't get your full rate onto the targeted field, that's neither here nor there. It's not going to hurt that non-target crop. So there's definitely and facet, you know, falls in that same category with regimen as soybeans being susceptible to facet. And then on the off chance we make propanil application in the flood, it would fall with those other two as well.
All right, Jason, everything you just described to me for both the New Path system or Clearfield system and Lion Purebred system was for normal flooded rice. What do I do on this 25% of the acres that is row rice out there?
Well, the fur irrigated rice is becoming more popular. We've certainly got more of it than we had last year, and probably had more of it last year than we had the year before. And you know, we're doing a lot of work on it. You don't necessarily have a lot of answers for the, you know, broad spectrum programs. What I think we know, and what I think we saw, you know, at meetings this past winter, the folks that were working on this system in other states, it looks like you got to spray it three times. I was really encouraged that, you know, the stuff that we had done. Jay Seal is a graduate student here at Stoneville, and Jay's the one that's doing our big row rice project. I was really encouraged that a lot of the stuff that Jay found in his first year, his work last summer, was the same thing that folks in the other states were seeing as well. So a way I like to do it, and again, haven't verified that this is right or wrong yet, I think, well, let me back up. You've got four options, and you got three products and four options. You know, Bolero's out there. Bolero does give us some residual. We generally do not rely on the residual in Bolero. We generally rely on it as post-emergence, as a component of rice bow. All right, so that's there. Acknowledge that it has some residual.
And it works very well for us.
It hasn't been one that we've relied on mainstream.
Right.
So you've got Command, you've got Facet, and you've got Prowl. And I say four because you've got two applications of Command.
And see, what I'm trying to figure out in my mind is, talking about post-flood rice, what do we consider really post-flood fertigated rice?
Well, I'm gonna speak to that. So okay. If you think about, you know, what we can't talk about weed control in rice and not talk about an application of Command at planting. I mean, we got zero credibility if, you know, I've been here for however many years I've been. And
old grandpa, old.
And then all of a sudden say, you know, skip the Command at planting. You know, I got no credibility.
I want to take a step back on that, because you said when Wayne retires this year, you are the oldest tenured person.
I'm not the oldest. I've been here the longest.
Which is synonymous with old.
Yeah, but Gore's older than I am. And Cookie is too.
Technicalities, man. Technicalities.
So, you know, Command at planting, and I think Prowl really fits well in this fur irrigated row rice, whatever you want to call it.
And there's a lot of guys going back to the yellow, and they have really good results.
So, you know, we've always been gun shy with Prowl, because of the whole delayed pre thing, and that's a moving target, and it's most certainly is. But a true post-emergence application of Prowl, you know, 2 to 3 leaf, you're almost completely safe. I mean, I've never necessarily seen much injury under normal. I mean, you can roll your eyes if you want to, but under normal conditions.
Well, you looked at some last week.
Yeah, but that wasn't normal conditions. Yeah.
What's normal in a row rice field?
Well, we don't know. But there was more going on in that field than a herbicide application. And we don't know what the other things were, you know, at this point. I think the Prowl fits really well. You know, the product that RiceCo/UPL has now called Rice One, I think that's a combination of Clomazone and Prowl. I think it fits great. It doesn't have to be Rice One, but the combination of Prowl and Command in that kind of early post timing, I think that's a good application. And then you've got Facet, whether that's clear path in clear field rice, or it's Facet in non clear field rice, or maybe it's Facet and Prowl. So you've got four options. You got two applications of Command, you got one application of Prowl, you got one application of Facet. Mix and match those
to what you got in the field
into three post or pre-emergence and post-emergence applications. So there we go to talking about weed control in fur irrigated rice the same way that we've always talked about weed control in soybeans and cotton, is relying on the residual herbicides, which we've always talked about in rice too, but basically not going across the field without a product in the tank that's giving you residual grass control. You know, where we would be talking about pigweeds in soybean or cotton, and rice, we're talking about grass.
Because you effectively eliminated the number one residual weed control option that we've always used in rice,
which is water. And then, you know, so you asked earlier about the flood and what serves as the flood in row rice. Who knows? You know, it depends on how you manage the water. It depends on what part of the field you're standing in and how the water is being managed in that field. So there's not a clear answer to that. I think you have a timing that you could, you know, begin to refer to as lay-by, like we would in a traditional row crop. And it's going to be that kind of four-leaf, one tiller, one to two tillers, you know, whatever. Whenever you begin, you know, dribbling that water down through there, that's going to kind of be your lay-by application. At one point, you're going to make a significant or application of a significant quantity of your nitrogen fertilizer. And at that point, I think you need to have a really good residual down too for grass control.
Well, and to that point, talking about your, like, a really good residual in that row rice, that's always been one of my biggest concerns with row rice, is blowing up these populations of resistant barnyard grass, you know, on the top side of the fields where, you know, you don't have as much water as a traditional system. Control broadleaf weeds at plots we've put in soybeans, you know, rotation volunteer control method. And so what level of control could we be losing without a flood? And on those top sides of fields that we haven't really figured out the best way to address yet.
Yeah, because you spray some AIM on a volunteer soybean and then flood it, and he's dead in a couple of weeks. And I'm not, you know, saying AIM kills volunteer soybeans in a rice field, but, you know, if you get it sick, it's going to go ahead and die pretty quick in a flooded environment. But you don't flood it, and he's probably going to pop right back out of that AIM application.
Or you blow up a bunch of pigweed, and then you've got to deal with them next year if you go back to soybean.
Yeah. And another one that's come up too, Ben, and just right in line with what you're saying, is we've always erred towards spraying broadleaf weeds in our pre-flood timing. You know, say we got some coffee beans. Well, we can just wipe them out, you know, pretty quick. And with Loyant, we can wipe out some pigweeds pretty quick. Well, what if you're not flooding that rice?
Got to start earlier, man. Got to start earlier.
So, I mean, there's we started this thing talking about post-flood grass control and then segued into row rice. And
well, it's still in the post-flood vein. Let me ask you one thing before
you.
But,
I mean, we could talk about row rice, you know, for the rest of the day, because there's the not unlike rice in general, whether you're managing your herbicides or managing your fertilizer or managing your water, rice, unique to the other row crops or the other crops that we grow in the Delta, the possibilities are just endless for the way to manage it, and there's a lot of personal preference in rice production.
It still scares me to death because of what you just said. There's not a singular, this is what row rice is. With this vast different row spacings, different planting patterns, some going across the bed, some going at a 45 angle, some going down a row, different ways of stopping up water on the end. How much are we going to pump? How much are we going to let the top go dry? With all these different management scenarios, what kind of concerns me is they're so different that the things that we're doing, how do you hone in on it? Like in flooded rice, we know we're going to flood at a certain time. We know we're going to do this, and this treatment works in this scenario. Well, the things that we might be seeing working here may not work the same if it's managed differently.
Oh, no, that's a fact. You know, Eric Webster sent me a picture last week that was from a row rice field. And, you know, my response to him was, one, I started with wow, and then followed that up with, in a lot of cases, we're discovering problems that we don't have answers to because we've never seen them before and never thought about it, never thought about the fact, well, this particular, we could go in the ditch right here. Well, we never thought about the possibility of going in the ditch right there because on traditional flooded rice, we never went in the ditch right there.
Because that water covers up a lot of mistakes. All right, Ben, since you're our systems agronomist here, you're working with all the crops. I've had a lot of guys call me this year, talk about, hey, man, I'm growing this row rice behind cotton. I'm growing row rice behind soybeans. I'm growing row rice behind corn. As we shift our production practices, because what historically rice has been soybean rice rotation, as we start rotating with different crops, how might that add to our weed species shift and what we need to look at controlling differently?
Well, that's we've talked, you know, just across the table from each other about this kind of topic. And you know, another one of my concerns, which I like the idea behind row rice. I think it gives traditional non-rice growing farmers an avenue to get into rice production, especially with the way the market looks right now. Rice is pretty favorable.
And I think you've seen that this year, because there's a lot of guys out there that's called me and said, hey, I've got a couple hundred acres of row rice, I'm trying it, that I don't think they would have tried rice if it wasn't for this row rice avenue.
Yeah, because, I mean, it, you know, there's two passels of people you seem to talk to about rice when you suggest, you know, why don't you grow a couple hundred acres of rice? Did that one time, never doing it again. Seemed to get kind of burned. But as we switch from these different production practices, you know, with row rice, are we going to create problems in our weed species spectrum that maybe wasn't an issue before? Are we going to start missing some stuff because of you know, how we have to farm row rice? It's going to be a problem in beans, or vice versa, blowing some stuff up in our beans or cotton that we're going to have to deal with in our row rice production systems. And a lot of that we don't necessarily have an answer for Mississippi production practices right now.
Yeah, one that just popped into my head, related example, you know, the prickly cider problem that we've kind of developed in our Xtend row crop acres, you know, didn't really expect to see that coming. I mean, we wanted to spray the dicamba products for palmer amaranth, but, you know, now we're not killing tea weeds, prickly cider, you know, and there's a possibility of doing the same thing, you know, in a row rice acre, something popping up,
yeah,
that we're
absolutely
not expecting.
Or something that wasn't a problem is now a problem, or...
I know I've got some row rice out there that just happened to be behind cover crops last year, and prior to that was cotton. And walking it the other day, I noticed more morning glories out there than I've noticed in my traditional rice soybean rotations.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have you heard about, you know, I can't, you know, morning glories just eating your rice up?
Yeah, I looked at a field of row rice last year that, you know, on that top side right out in front of the pipe, big rice, you know, mid-season rice. The morning glories were, you know, wrapped out the top. Wasn't a lot of them, but, you know, it was a, you know, area, you know, big as a pickup truck.
That's enough.
Yeah, no, sure.
You know, you run a header through that,
yeah,
and it's going to make you feel different.
Up, yeah.
Yeah. So we went a couple different directions on this particular episode. We talked about, you know, post-flood grass control, which, again, you know, I still say is a salvage application. And then we hit on the fur irrigated / row rice phenomenon that we're all, you know, working with and then dealing with, you know, from calls from growers and consultants. So, you know, we jumped around a little bit. So by all means, if anybody's got any questions and needs some clarification on anything, give us a call. We can help you through some of these different scenarios that we've discussed.
Thank you, guys. You know we're here. Just give us a shout.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.